800-585-5633.
Controversy with a planned mosque / Islamic center being built a couple of blocks from Ground Zero, plus the burning of the Quran on Saturday in a teeny tiny church. An evangelical pastor planning to do that from 6 to 9 on Saturday evening. And how about this one? Talk about a blunder. The senior aide to a Democratic senator arrested for pot possession in the Senate building. Guess he couldn't deal with all the headaches, so he decided to get stoned. And how about the incumbent Murkowski deciding to run as a write-in candidate in the Alaska Senate race after she was toppled by a Tea Party member? Ooh, there's a lot brewing across the states, isn't there? Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, American Side. Always a pleasure to be with you. Thanks for joining us here on these airwaves from the left coast to the west coast to all the nooks and crannies that I love so much in between. If you want to throw your two cents in, feel free. Just pick up the phone. It's a free call anyway. And dial these numbers, 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. I wonder if there's any talk shows where when you call, you actually have to pay for the call. I bet you there is. I'm going to find that out, and I'm going to tell you in the next show. Just for grins, I'm going to do it. All right, right at the top, let's talk about, let's go back to something that's now been going on for 3 weeks. Not the controversy that's only been around for 4 days. Let's go back to the controversy from 3 weeks ago that just keeps getting bigger. And I'm talking about the proposed Islamic center at an old Burlington coat factory, two blocks from what is now Ground Zero, which, by the way, if you haven't been there, the hole in the sky is still there because the World Trade Centers went down, as you all know, 9 years ago. If you ever go there, and I've been back a dozen times, it's very hard for me to go back there. It's very hard because I was in the city when it happened. But to walk and see it boarded up, and there's a couple of holes that you can look through, and there's just so many tourists that go through. But what's really weird, and I guess it's just a hard thing for people to wrap their brain around, there's the firehouse that's right there, and there's flowers in front of it all the time. There's a museum that's got, for lack of a better way to say it, whatever was left, items that were found at Ground Zero. And then there's these people that make money off of selling pictures of the various pictures, why you would want this, of the planes flying into the building. But, you know, when we talk about these controversies, what's lost is the place where the victims reside. Because there were very few bodies taken out of the area in Lower Manhattan that imploded when the planes hit the buildings. There were mostly people, pieces of people, sad to say, that were left behind, and a lot of things were collected, but still in the rubble, it really is a graveyard for the people who were there. So when we think of what goes up around there, I say to you, it does matter. And it is very sensitive and very split among the people in the city and the people across this nation, let's face it, because this wasn't just a New York issue. It became bigger than New York. It became larger than life, and it still is, and this is ongoing. Now you have the Imam Rauf, who is starting to speak. He's gone on shows. He was on the Larry King show, and he's talked to a couple of other people about the situation because he was overseas when the controversy first broke out. So every day there's various opinions on the street. Here's the latest from New York on what people are saying about the mosque.
Building a 15-story mosque, looking down the cemetery, the graveyard of Ground Zero, is deeply offensive.
Yeah, and that's it. It's exactly what I said. That's my point of view from being there. And it may be different than some of you. Now, Mayor Bloomberg, who was also in the city at the time, has a completely different view on this. I think there's no secret how I feel about Bloomberg. Ooh, let's make me the mayor. Yeah, three terms. But the people in New York were stupid enough to vote him in to let that happen for a third term, which I think has just been disastrous. And here's what the mayor had to say about now some of the things that are happening over the mosque.
It's probably hard to find anybody in this country that if you go back in time, they or their ancestors didn't come from a group that was discriminated against.
What is clear is the government should never get involved in restricting what you can say, which includes who you can pray to or where you can pray.
The pilgrims came here to avoid religious persecution in England.
And he's right about that. We say that all the time, that if you have the religious freedom idea, then that's why, part of why America was founded. But here's what I said when the controversy first started. I know if we re-racked a show and we archived them on the network, you would hear me say many times, a couple of shows in a row, that I'm always talking about the money and follow the flow of the money and anything, almost anything that we bring up on America Tonight, and you'll find the answer. And I had heard from some pretty decent sources that a lot of the people that are backing the Islamic Center aren't so happy about all this negative publicity, especially when they hear words like graveyard, insensitive, the victims' families crying on the local television station when they're interviewed. So now a story, I think, was in the AP earlier in the day that talked about the people who are backing it being a little shaky with the investment. And at least one major investor is saying he's prepared to sell some or all of the site if the price is right, because he doesn't want the controversy. And the guy is an Egyptian-born businessman who says that he provided most of the capital to get control over the two buildings where the center is going to be built. And he says while he supports the concept, he needs to turn a profit. He's not even going into the whole controversy thing. And he said if one of the buildings is worth millions, if it's redeveloped, so he wants to see the other. He said he'll see what happens with that. And he'd turn it over to somebody else if they want it, because he's a businessman and it's a mere transaction for him. Remember, they've got to raise $100 million to build this thing and they have not done it yet. So keep that in mind. All right, coming up on the flip side, we can count.
And now for another exciting minute from Life Change Tea. To all our Life Change Tea customers, it's sale time. Buy three, get one free. Buy three packages of Life Change Tea and get one package absolutely free. Now to all of you that have not tried Life Change Tea, here's your chance. Buy three, get one free. Clean toxins and chemicals inside your body. Lose inches off your waist, and you could lose that excess weight that's been driving you crazy. And with our buy three, get one free sale, it's a great time to order. So here's how. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Look for our special, or you can call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. 0408. It feels good to be clean, and it feels good to lose weight, and it really feels good to save money. So order now at GetTheTea.com.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
If you're in a service business, that's money ringing in your ears. If your phone's not ringing, chances are it's a problem with your marketing. Landscapers, painters, roofers, carpet cleaners, pet sitters, handymen. Anyone with a residential service business can build a huge and loyal customer base fast with the Magic Yellow Flyer. No more expensive newspaper, yellow pages, or internet pay-per-click ads. The Magic Yellow Flyer will have new customers calling you within 1 week. The Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system is the most effective and inexpensive way to build a referral-only service business in a short period of time. And the Magic Yellow Flyer comes with an outrageous 1-year guarantee. You will get new customers or your money back. For details, go to MagicYellowFlyer.com. No matter what business you're in, the Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system will work for you. Visit MagicYellowFlyer.com. Put the Magic Yellow Flyer to work for you today. Visit MagicYellowFlyer.com.
This, and I know some of you have had family members who have gone through it, and I hope they survive, but September is National Leukemia and Lymphoma Awareness Month, and the numbers are staggering. In fact, the American Cancer Society is estimating that in 2009 there were 44,000, let me give you the exact number, 44,790 new cases of leukemia. Throw that in with the 21,870 deaths, and lymphoma, over 74,000 new cases, and then 20,000 plus of those led to death. I know down the street from me when I was a kid, there was a girl that lived down the street. I still remember her. She had a great smile, Denise Bartucci. And sadly, I think it was just a crushing blow, obviously, to her family. She came down with lymphoma and didn't last very long, so we're hoping that there's new things that are happening, and this next guest is a fighter, T.L. Hines. He's a best-selling author. He was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma shortly before he started work on his latest novel. It's a book called The Falling Away, and we're pleased to welcome him to our show. Hey, T.L., how you doing?
I'm doing great, and thanks for having me on tonight.
Let's talk about, you know, I said you were working on the book that's out now when this happened. Take us to the moment when you learned that you had come down with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. What happened?
Yeah, well, it was kind of a double surprise for me because I had actually one of those rare guys who's pretty good about going in and seeing his doctor once a year for a checkup. So I had gone in for a checkup, and I had just these slightly odd liver enzyme readings, and my doctor wanted me to go in for a scan saying, you know, I think it's probably just a fatty liver, but let's do a scan and just eliminate some other things, make sure that there's no problems. And so I went in for that scan, and the good news was that the scan was clear as far as my liver was concerned, but they found lymphoma throughout my abdominal region. So, you know, I didn't have any symptoms or anything when I went in for it, and it was discovered really by accident. And, you know, accident if you want to look at it one way, or divine providence, I think, if you want to look at it another way. So, you know, within a 24-hour span, I went from thinking I was getting tested for some, you know, slightly elevated liver enzymes to hearing the words, we're concerned you may have lymphoma.
Wow. And then, and so you went through, I'm sure, a battery of tests, right? And so they could prove that out, or a bunch of tests.
I did, yeah. You know, I immediately went in for, you know, repeated scans to see if it, you know, was in other areas of the body, and I had gone in through a biopsy and go through a couple weeks of, you know, really just testing and staging to get diagnosed and to find out exactly what, you know, what type of lymphoma it was, and all those kinds of things. And of course, during that time too, I made the mistake that anyone with a laptop and a broadband connection makes, and I, you know, went on to Google and Googled lymphoma survival rates, which is a bad place to start. So, you know, I wasn't encouraged by what I found in my original research, but as I was diagnosed and did more research, I found a lot more reason to have hope, and here I am 3 years later for sure, so...
Yeah, congratulations. I think we have some applause from the studio audience back in Minneapolis. They're excited.
Well, good.
Yeah, you're our daily salute. Yeah, that's a good thing. Absolutely. So what would you say to people about, you know, you're sharing this with everybody. What would you tell people to look for? I mean, I don't even know. What are the warning signs for leukemia and lymphoma?
Yeah, right. And, you know, in my case, I didn't really have any particular symptoms, but certainly it's something I've grown to know more about. And there are a couple, really, of classic symptoms for lymphoma. And one is just swollen nodes that won't go away. And typically where you would have a node swell up would be in your neck, in your underarms, your armpits, or in your groin area, which would just be a bothersome node that would, you know, be swollen and wouldn't go away. It wouldn't always necessarily be painful or anything, but it would just keep staying that way.
Yeah.
And then another classic symptom is night sweats. If you are waking up in the middle of the night, just, you know, drenched in sweats, that can certainly be a sign of lymphoma as well.
Yeah, that's the good tips for people to look for. Because I think also, too, people just ignore that. They think it's something else, so they... You know, they ate something wrong, or they're feeling something else, and that's why they're sweating, or, you know, reaching for other things that it possibly could be. And you also have a cautionary tale in the fact that, like you mentioned, a lot of men don't go to see the doctor, and here you were being diligent. So I think it's divine providence that that was caught. Whereas if you were one of those guys who never, ever went to the doctors, never had something checked out, you, who knows, you wouldn't have any idea.
Well, I know. That's something I've certainly gone back to and considered, you know, many times in the time since then of when might it have been discovered, and it might not have been discovered until, you know, far too late to have had any kind of treatment that I was able to receive.
Yeah, no kidding. What about readers? I guess readers, a lot of the readers have shared their stories with you about their own cancer battles. That has to be kind of humbling and at the same time fascinating to you to hear what other people have done and how they've overcome their own battles. What were some of the stories that you received from some of the readers?
You know, it's been interesting to talk to people really all over the place. And people who are in the same place who just get through that recent diagnosis, and you really are just kind of numbed and in shock at first. And, you know, I think there are many times when I actually went through my diagnosis and treatment, they kind of I'm one of those people who, well, I'm a writer, so I need to write things down to kind of help, you know, center my feelings on things. And so I actually blogged about it on my website, kind of the whole journey through the process. And I still every week will hear from someone who's been recently diagnosed with lymphoma and is trying to, you know, figure out what they want to do for treatment and ask for advice. I think the stories that really do stick with me are kind of like the story that you shared about the neighbor that you grew up with, the people that you have lost. And one of the things I did do after going through treatment is, you know, one, taking stock of where I was in life and all those different kinds of things, and then really trying to kick it up a notch as far as being healthier. And so I was never a runner before, but I decided after that I was going to run a half marathon. And so I did that, and kind of the thing that I did in my pocket in my first half marathon, I had just kind of written on a slip these names of specifically 8 people that I had met during my early diagnosis and treatment and had become good friends with, and people who had passed away, that, you know, that was just kind of a way for me to carry that physical reminder of them as I was trying to, you know, do a new kind of journey.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. Good for you. We'll tell everyone, too, that they can pick up Falling Away. And quickly, because we have a minute left, give us the brief thumbnail on what the book's about.
Well, the book is actually about a man who's a member of the Crow tribe in Montana, but he's kind of this broken man who's kind of lost touch with his heritage. And part of that is because he's an Iraq war vet. So he returns to the United States after being injured in Iraq, and he falls into this strange cult that calls itself the Hive. So it's the inner machinations of the cult and his efforts to get out of that cult that really make up the novel itself.
Excellent. Falling Away. Well, thank you so much, TL, for spending time with us here on these airwaves. And I hope that your story inspires other people to, first of all, go and get checked and also to pay attention. And good luck in the future. And once again, thanks for stopping by.
Well, thanks so much for having me, and thank you specifically for just featuring this on, you know, Lymphoma and Leukemia Awareness Month. So we certainly appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. You take care. And as we mentioned, it is the month for that, and TL's right. I mean, you hear more stories, sadly, on those statistics and how awful it is, whether it's somebody young or somebody older who just... They have no time. They can't fight it. It's too late for that diagnosis. On the flip side, we've just scratched the surface. Odds and ends next.
You've seen our SinoFresh banner on the GCN website.
Yet your sinusitis is still a problem.
Are you waiting for your sinusitis to go away by itself?
Are you waiting for a SinoFresh discount?
Okay, here it comes.
But first, the facts.
67 other products merely treat symptoms.
And not the cause of sinus problems.
And 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress just like you. But now many are finding relief with the only patent-protected homeopathic nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of sinusitis. SinoFresh.
Now, here's your limited-time discount offer to use SinoFresh.
Call 888-906-3636 right now for $2 off per bottle when you mention GCN. That's it. Just call 888-906-3636 and mention GCN for a $2 discount.
But hurry, this offer is only for the first 1,000 customers.
Call 888-906-3636. 888-906-3636. Call right now for $2 off per bottle.
Mention GCN.
Buy SinoFresh.com. It works.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
Search no more.
I'm told that it has everything.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
All types of batteries for all types of gadgets.
We'll say it again.
All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. Electronics, toys, flashlights, computers, accessories, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Whatever type battery you need, alkaline, lithium, gel cell, NiCad, metal hydride, sealed lead acid, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Our homepage gives you quick access to ham, marine, police, fire, and aviation batteries. Plus, choose from our great selection of LED flashlights with no bulb to ever burn out and much longer battery life. Find many top brands, including Streamlight, Pelican, Surefire, Novatek, Gerber, and more at BatteryStation.com. You'll also find the most popular brands of ammunition and watertight cases for storing guns, food, electronics, survival gear, and more at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. You will be surprised when you visit BatteryStation.com.
Question. What would you rather drink? Acidic water, which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass, or alkaline water, which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
Time for another edition of Oh Yeah, We Can Count. All right, this time we're going to kind of hop and skip and jump all around like that's something new for this show. It's really not, but we're going to start with a guy we threw in the dungeon the other day, but he makes the list of We Can Count, and it's Reggie Bush. You got one football player who can run when he wants to. He did it for a Super Bowl team. But he ran away from his responsibility from the Trojans, so that's two. And he doesn't really say much about it. There's no apology in his voice. So it's one giant piece of hardware that he's going to have to give back. That equals three. And listen to what Reggie Bush said when he was asked about all the mess at USC.
I'm not even thinking about that. I haven't even gone that far. You know, here we are at the you know, the day before the biggest game of the new season, and you know, that's where my focus is, on the New Orleans Saints, and it's on you know, this game tomorrow. It's a big game playing the Minnesota Vikings, and it's going to be crazy.
All right, it's going to be crazy, but he could have started that in a better way by addressing, gee, sorry that that happened, whatever, because he gets to keep all the cash. His family was given a house, he was given a car, but, you know, we won't go in that direction anymore. So we move from Reggie Bush to this other story about the NFL, which Bush plays in. Now the commissioner was proud to announce 18 games. How do you feel about an 18-game season? Here's what Roger Goodell had to say.
You have
have to create greater value. And that's what we focus on. How do we improve the quality of what we're doing and create that value for our fans? And that goes from everything from how you price the tickets to the facility itself, which we've invested in new stadiums, to providing a safe and entertaining experience for their family when they do go.
All right. He segued into something else, but 18 games is what's at hand. Is that creating value and all that stuff? More games, which means that the owners can make more money, but the players are kind of lukewarm to the whole idea because of what happens to their bodies. If how many preseason games are you cutting out as a result of that? Starbucks is making a big change. They're getting rid of their smaller 12-ounce drink. They said that the drive-through menus only show customers the option of two of their larger sizes, the 16-ounce Grande or the 20-ounce Venti. That's your choices now. They're doing away with the 12-ouncer, which is called Tall, because they want to simplify their menu from the cluttered version, baloney. They want to make more money because when you go through, you just don't want to get out of the car and you want your coffee, period. So you're going to get the Grande or the Venti. You're not going to park and you're not going to go inside and get the 12-ounce version. I think they have lousy coffee anyway. I do. It is so strong, I could grow a beard. If I drank any of those sizes I just mentioned, I'd start to have facial hair. I am positive of it. The new menus, by the way, were rolled out nationwide and in Canada on August 31st. They have about 25 things on the menu, compared with the 75 that they had before. They're just trying to hustle more people through. Okay, here's another big sad story that's going on in Colorado. We talked about this a little bit, but let me give you the payoff here. 135 homes have been destroyed so far by the wildfire. The containment right now is at about 10-15%, and this is what happened to a canyon. A wildfire started burning in the canyons, and those mountainsides, if you've ever been there, it's beautiful, near Boulder, became a terrible, terrible fire. I mean, one of the worst that they've seen. You've got firefighters that are just simply exhausted, and you've got acres and acres that have been scorched, 6,200 acres. That's about 10 square miles plus, give or take. And they're trying to hold any part of this 20-mile-long fire perimeter that they've created. So, unfortunately, those homes were part of the toll. The good news is, the best news is, because remember, it's never about things. It's never about things. It's about people. So about 3,500 people were actually evacuated from 1,000-plus houses, and the fire broke out in an area near Boulder on Monday. So here we are getting toward the weekend, and people in four neighborhoods are going to be allowed to return home as we speak. But how many houses that involves, they don't know at this point, because they can't risk that it might flame up and go in a different direction. So the fire west of Boulder isn't huge in terms of size, but it's in a very populated area, so major property damage, no deaths or injuries yet that are known anyway in that fire. So none so far. All right, it's all about sparring, isn't it, over 9/11, and the various memorials have become open season for people to complain and whine about. 9 years after Flight 93, where the passengers rebelled against what was happening, the people who were hijacking them, and they crashed into a field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, instead of allowing the plane to fly into a higher target in Washington, the design of a memorial to honor the 40 passengers and crew who died is still controversial. There's like nothing about this that's not controversial. So check this out. Since 2005, they had this plan for the National Memorial. Remember, there was a lot of talk about it. It was unveiled. I think the president was even there. So they had, there were a group of critics, including the father of one of the heroes who died. They're protesting that the memorial's design has too many Islamic symbols, and they're not backing down. They're going to even run a full-page ad opposing the design in a local newspaper this Friday and Saturday when everybody's remembering September 11th. The National Park Service says the critics, who they're calling conspiracy theorists, are expressing concerns that are baseless, and it's already changed the design to remove any kind of symbol that could be confused that it might be considered Islamic. At the center of the dispute is the Field of Honor. It's a circular tree-lined landmass that's going to serve at the pretty much the heart of the memorial. Then there's a 93-foot Tower of Voices that has 40 wind chimes, one for each victim of the crash. 40 groves of red and sugar maple trees. Okay, you get it, right? That they're going to put in. But the ad paid for by Tom Burnett Sr., whose 38-year-old son died in the crash, and Alec Rawls, the author of a book about it, they keep saying that the memorial's Field of Honor resembles a crescent, an Islamic crescent and star, and that the entire site is orientated toward Mecca. And so it's a more obvious tribute to the terrorists, and there's one that isn't. It's hard to imagine. Now, what you need to do is go and Google this. In fact, I'm going to post it on the website, and you can, in the next day or two, you can look at it and you can tell me what you think. Do you think it is one of those symbols and there's something more to this, or do you think that this is much ado about nothing and it is just gotten out of hand and it's become something that's now led to a conspiracy? And you can look at it two ways. I've looked at the design, and on face value, if you did take the Islamic star, it might look a little bit like it, but I think it's by accident because it doesn't, I wouldn't fly over that field and think that, like, my God, have they lost their mind? What have they done here? I wouldn't get that unless it was completely pointed out to me, and almost like when you trace something, you put it over top of it. If that was done, you know, maybe I would look at it and think that, but otherwise, just on face value, I don't get it. I don't see it. And I looked at it a couple of different times to make sure, you know, it wasn't me not really trying to just look at it and have the opinion, you know, form the opinion, don't have it going into it. All right, one for one, Piers Morgan. Have you ever heard of him? He's going to replace Larry King in the primetime lineup. How crazy. So a Brit stepping in for King on that now starting to be lower and lower rated show. He is a veteran journalist. He does host a popular interview program in England. He's going to do that kind of a show for CNN. This story leaked out probably about a month ago. And there's another show that's going to debut with former New York Governor Eliot Spitzer. If you're disgraced in this nation, you have a chance to make a lot of money. There's an example of it. And a columnist, Kathleen Parker, that's happening in October. But Piers Morgan is in that show, America's Got Talent. You know, I know him by face. I haven't watched the show. But how about that? He gets the king seat. Wow. Crazy. All right, and then there's this last one here for We Can Count. And initially, when I saw this, I thought it was just one of those crazy rumors that get started, but it's true. Rich Cronin, the lead singer of the 90s boy band LFO, died after a long battle with leukemia. And we were just talking about that. He had a stroke and he died in a hospital this afternoon. He was just 35 years old. And the band was probably best known in the late 90s. They had a hit song called Summer Girls. He wrote that song, and he had been fighting leukemia since 2005.
You can see a flashing in the backpack.
The sound was different than a car alarm, so it was a different sound, so we looked to see what it was.
I think it's a great idea.
Introducing the iSafe bag, a backpack that looks normal until you pull the pin. The iSafe bag emits two powerful sirens and a high-intensity strobe light simultaneously to attract immediate help.
Having the iSafe bag gives me a feeling of being safe because I know when I pull the alarm, people will hear it and they'll come and help me.
For mobile personal security, get the iSafe bag at iSafeBags.com. That's the letter iSafeBags.com. iSafeBags.com.
I thank God that she had that backpack and she had enough sense to use it.
It's like having a bodyguard with you all the time. The iSafe bag. The patented bag with a built-in alarm, available at iSafeBags.com.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back.
You gotta love that song. Said, hey everybody, Kate, hanging with you here with my pal Harry Rinker, the guru of all things collectible. Harry, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great.
And you know what? So are some areas of the collectible market, right?
Yes. In fact, Kate, I was down in Baltimore, Pennsylvania, over the Labor Day weekend. There's a big, huge antique show down there. It has about 1,300 dealers in it, including a 70-dealer antiquarian book fair. And it's the high end of the market, the upper middle part of the market and the high end of the market. And there were a lot of dealers down there. There were at least some decent traffic. Talked to a couple of dealers. They seemed to be doing okay. Only thing that concerned me, at least initially, was the growing age of both the dealers and the customers. There's just one of the realities of the modern antiques and collectibles world is that the old types of things that people collected the generation that collected them isn't getting younger. And the new young generation, I don't know, they just don't seem to be excited. Now, we were down visiting my wife's favorite jewelry dealer, and unfortunately, it cost me a lot of money. It cost her a lot of money, too, actually. And I'm a big fan of the fact that while the antiques and collectibles trade isn't necessarily cheaper than new, my wife did buy a ring that probably, you know, in a store, in a state jewelry store, would have been at least twice as much as she paid. There's a lot of bargains out there, but it's all relative. The high end of some of the markets are doing quite well right now. There's just a feeling that everybody in the trade's waiting for things to break out, for all of a sudden the economy to just kind of jumpstart and go. The antiques and collectibles trade was never that geared to the stock market historically. And today, however, it's very much geared to the stock market. If the stock market's jumpy or people are jumpy, then my market is there. We're still seeing a lot of smaller antique shows. The old 40 dealer, 75 dealer, middle range, high end antique shows are collapsing. The big, large mega shows are still doing fine. So there's still kind of a transition. We're all waiting to see. The thing that's kind of really disturbing me is I'm currently living in Connecticut, and this is the home of the old individual antique shop. You don't see much of that where you are these days or anywhere, but there was a time when you used to get in a car on a Saturday or Sunday and you'd drive out into the countryside and you'd stop at one antique shop after another. Today they go to these big antique shows. They love the big antique balls where they can see all kinds of material in one location. Today as I drive through New England countryside, for every antique shop I find open, I see one closed.
Wow.
In fact, I drive down. I'm teaching at four different colleges now, so I drive through the countryside quite a bit these days. And I have been for the last 2 years, and two antique shops, which I drove by for year after year. Of course, I never went into it, which may explain one of the reasons why they closed. They didn't get any business from me. Have just recently closed, and it is concerning to me that this is going on. On the other hand, I don't know why I'm lamenting, because there are a lot of young people, and they are collecting, but they're buying from different sources. They're up on the Internet and that type of thing. And so I think things are alive and well out there. In fact, you know, we'd love to get some of our listeners to call in. One of the reasons I come with you on American Night is that if our listeners have antiques or collectibles or stuff they have around the house and they're curious to know what it's worth and so forth, all we're going to do is ask them to give us a call, right, and we'll talk about it.
Absolutely. 800-259-5791. Jam on those lines now. 800-259-5791. I did get a couple of emails. One in anticipation of you coming on. One was from PJ listening to us in Austin. This is an interesting one. No one's ever asked this the whole time I've talked to you, but PJ says, I have license plates from all 50 states. Would that be worth anything to anyone?
Not if they're post-World War II. There are an extensive license plate collector group. In fact, there's a license plate collector society. I've got some very good friends out in Montana that are in that. However, if you have early license plates, usually the rule of thumb in a license plate, right now anyway, is that the most valuable ones are the first through the first 8 or 10 from each state. So you're looking at license plates back at the beginning of the 20th century, anywhere from 1900 to 1910, prior to World War I, actually, can have some value and some substantial value. Not all the early plates were metal. Some were made of leather. I do remember one or two states that issued paper plates during World War II because of the metal shortage, and some of those can be quite rare. But if you have modern-day license plates from the 50 states, you can buy those on eBay and probably not have to pay more than $3 to $5 a plate, actually, to put the collection together. So it's kind of a fun thing to do that. Also, foreign plates have some collectability. I think I still have my old VW plates. I bought two of my Volkswagens in Germany and brought them back to the U.S. So I had German plates for them. I have some German friends over there, and I think I brought one or two plates back with me. But there is some collectability, but more novelty if they're modern. Now, right, a lot, now there are some oddball. Some people collect political plates or governor plates or politician plates, and sometimes you can pay a little money for those type of things. Although I'm not sure why.
Right, gotcha. So the foreign plates, that would be interesting.
Well, the foreign plates are a lot of fun. For example, the German plates, they have codes on them that tell you what city or town the plate was issued from. American plates are kind of dull by foreign standards. The foreign plates are a lot more fun because they stand for, oh, well, that's the plate from this city or that city. Here you get a number. Now, you get the vanity plates, although, again, it's more of a novelty than it is anything else.
All right, we got another one from Gerard O'Donnell, and I don't know if we've ever had this before either. And he said, Kate, I'm not sure when Harry's coming on again, but if I miss him, will you ask Harry about baseballs? Because I've got baseballs of the top six home run hitters of all time.
Well, again, the difficulty with the top six home run hitters of all time is they're modern balls. So first of all, he has to make sure the signatures are clean. Now, again, there were a lot of companies selling these balls and what have you done, but let's see, who are the top six? Is Ruth still in the top six? Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. If you have, that is one baseball that just continues to appreciate. It's staggering to me. I think the last low-end Ruth ball that I saw was 6 to 8,000. So if the signature's clean, that one's worth a lot of money. On the other hand, if you have a Mark McGwire ball or a Barry Bonds ball these days, I'm not sure what that's worth. Not much.
No,
or same with Sammy Sosa.
Yeah.
I don't know how baseball's going to deal long-term with the steroid issue with these players. But I know the collectibles market has kind of backed away real hard from Bonds, and they backed away real hard from McGwire, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not so sure they're not going to back away from Alex, too, Rodriguez. He's, what, number six on the list now?
Yeah.
I don't know. I have such mixed emotions about that era, having lived through it. I don't want to believe Roger took drugs, and although I have no problem believing Bonds and McGwire did.
Yeah, I don't either.
Quite a bit.
No kidding. Hey, let's tell everybody about the mailbag here for
the next
time.
Yeah, one of the things, if you have an antique or collectible and you have a question about it, I come on the show with Kate the second and fourth Tuesday of every month, the same time period. But we'd love to get questions from you for the mailbag. Here's what you do. It's very simple. Send it to my email address. My email address is Harry L. Rinker. That's HARRYLRINKER, Harry L. Rinker at AOL.com. Start your email, I listen to America Tonight, give us the name of the station you listen to, and then give me your question. Then when I come back on America Tonight, I'll be glad to answer it here on the air.
All right, perfect, Harry. We'll see you in 2 weeks.